So, Abba, Father, we just come. Father, we just thank you. Father, we just want to dedicate this Shabbat to you. And, Father, we praise you, Abba. And we ask, Lord, that your Spirit will pour out upon us once again, Father, fresh and anew. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. I see quite a few new faces, so a lot of people don't know what I teach on and how I understand the feasts are prophetically relevant and where we are in the prophetic calendar. So just in a nutshell, you know, we all know that Yeshua came back on Passover. He rose again from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. We know that the Spirit was poured out on Shavuot, same day that the Spirit is poured out is basically the beginning of, you know, the age that we're in now. And the very next event that most Christians can or most believers agree on is the trumpet blast. Ironically, there's some people that think that we're already in the kingdom. You can look around and see that we're not in the kingdom of God yet. It's pretty apparent. Now, there's some that say the trumpet blast is going to happen before the tribulation. Some that say it's going to be in the middle of the tribulation. Some that say it's going to be at the end of the tribulation. But the next event on the prophetic calendar is the trumpet blast. Well, the irony is that the trumpet blast, there is an entire month that precedes it, and it's called the month of Elul. And right now we're in the midst of the month of Elul. Now, Elul is the month that basically what happened was that Moshe came down from the Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments and saw the children of Israel in idolatry. And immediately what happened was the commandments were broken and the Levites were told to kill. It is at this point that Moshe goes back up into, to receive the commandments again. And it's the month of Elul that goes into Yom Kippur. It's 40 days. It's these 40 days that we're entering. We're entering into the season of repentance. And this is basically the last call. And when the trumpet blast happens, you know, then we have the days of awe. That's the last of the last call. But prophetically, where we're at right now is the month of Elul. Why? Well, because tied in the month of Elul, if you actually read the passages that the Orthodox are reading right now, it all talks about the restoration of Israel. But it's not just the restoration of Israel physically, but it's the restoration of Israel spiritually. The last passage, the very last week, right before the trumpet blast, the passage is read, is right here in Deuteronomy. And it's Deuteronomy 30 verse, you know, it actually goes all the way through. But I'm going to start in Deuteronomy 31, or actually I'm in Deuteronomy 30 verse 1. When all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I set before you, and you call them to mind among the nations where the Lord your God has driven you. So, you know what the irony is? That God already knew that Israel was going to be driven out of the land. This is a very interesting passage because it says that you will come to mind among the nations where the Lord God, your God, has driven you. Guess what? God already knew they weren't going to keep the commandments. If the Jewish people had kept the commandments, they would never have to be driven out of the land. This is the irony here. So right here in the Torah, he already says, you're going to break my commandments. I'm already going to have to prepare another way. And then it goes and continues on, and then it says, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God had scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and he will from there bring you back again. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he shall prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God, now here's the go. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. The next thing is not only the restoration coming back to the land, but now it's the circumcision of the hearts. It's talking about now the restoration of Israel spiritually. This is where we are prophetically. Right now we're seeing the restoration of Israel physically. We already know that God had driven them out. Why? Because they disobeyed God. They disobeyed the Torah. They disobeyed everything about. And so God had already known from the time that he wrote it that he was already going to have to provide a way. He provided the way through Yeshua, Messiah. And now all of a sudden, he says, now, not only am I going to bring you back physically, but now the tying in together of this is spiritually. And then continuing on, it says also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those that hate you, who persecute you. The irony is right now that we're seeing the nations come against Israel. And they don't recognize the fact that the promises of God, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are now going to apply. It's going to apply to the United States. It's going to apply to Europe. It's going to apply to France. It's going to apply to all those nations that are coming against Israel. Why? Because here it is. It's in the scriptures. That's where we're at prophetically now. And so now we're looking at a situation where we're at this time, the season of repentance. When Yeshua came, what preceded Yeshua? John the Baptist preceded him. And the only thing that John said was, repent, repent. The thing, the season that must precede all these things is repentance. This is the season we're in. We're in the 40 days going of repentance. And what is repentance? I mean, repentance really is getting a changed mind about things. It's about you're going one direction, and you say, no, I'm going the wrong way, and I need to turn around. It's like you're driving on the highway, and all of a sudden you realize you're going the wrong direction. You have to take the nearest exit. You have to get off the exit. You have to go ahead and turn around, and you have to start going the other way. That's repentance. If you go ahead and you say, I'm going the wrong direction, you keep going the wrong direction, that's not repentance. That's you going the wrong way. Now, what's interesting is, for those that don't know who Charlie Brown is, it's a cartoon, it's a comic strip. And in this comic strip, there's this one comic that you remember as a kid, there's Lucy. And Lucy has a football. And she tells Charlie to go and kick the football. And all the time that he goes up to kick the football, she kicks the football away, and he tries to kick, and he falls and lands on his back. And it happens over and over again. And finally, you know, it gets to the point where the strip opens up, and here's Lucy. She's holding the ball, and Charlie Brown would not kick the ball. Lucy begged and begged and said, please kick the ball. But Charlie Brown says, look, every time I try to kick the ball, you remove the ball, and I fall on my back. So then Lucy then starts crying. She says, Charlie Brown, I've been so miserable to you over the years. Pick up the football like I have. I played so many cruel tricks on you. And I see the error of my ways. I've seen the hurt in your eyes when I've deceived you. I've been so wrong, Charlie Brown. Won't you please give this poor, penitent girl another chance? So Charlie Brown is now so moved by her display of grief. He sees the ball. He runs to kick it. And all of a sudden, Lucy takes it away. He falls right on his back. And Lucy's last words in the comic strip are, recognizing your faults and actually changing your ways are two different things, Charlie Brown. We can recognize our faults. We can recognize that we're doing something wrong. But it's not until we actually change our direction that is real repentance. The season that we're in is repentance. And what preceded Yeshua was John the Baptist. It was the spirit of repentance. You know, it was, if you read in Malachi, it was to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. What was that? That's a turn. All of a sudden, if we're going to go ahead and we're going to lead a season of repentance, we ourselves must go through repentance. If the priesthood doesn't go through repentance, the people that follow the priests never go to repentance. It actually starts top down. It doesn't start bottom up. And so if we're going to go ahead and we're going to see the restoration of Israel then we have to recognize that we are called to lead the children in repentance by ourselves going through repentance ourselves. The same passage is read, not only is this particular passage read in Deuteronomy talking about the restoration of Israel physically and now talking about the restoration of Israel spiritually, it's just the same passage is being read is also in Isaiah. And during this time, this is Isaiah 52, "Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day they shall know it is I that speak, here am I." The first thing that we recognize is all of a sudden everyone's going to hear the Lord. Now the next thing is, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who saith to Zion, your God reigns. This is the blessing to us. This is where we are at prophetically. We're the ones bringing the good news. We're the ones that's called to bring this good news. And then if you continue on, it says, the voice of the watchman. The voice of your watchman. They lift up their voice together. They sing for joy. For eye to eye, they see the return of the Lord to Zion. For those of us who are on the watchman, we already can view, we can already see the fact that the Lord is returning. It is already a complete effect. In my mind, it's already a done deal. And we already see this, and in the seeing this, we lift up our voice, we lift up for joy. Why? Because we know the Messiah is right here at the door. It is at the doorsteps. We see every sign now like we've never seen before. And then the next thing, do they get sad? No. They break forth into joy, singing together. They are ecstatic that the King is coming. But then it goes, You waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He will redeem Jerusalem. Why? Because the Lord hath bared forth his holy arm before the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see what? The Yeshua of your God. And so here it is. The Lord has already revealed Yeshua to the world. He's already revealed Yeshua to Israel. And now it's our job to publish these good things. It's our job to go ahead and stand and break forth to joy. Why? Because we're almost home. Then it continues on. Ready? What's the next thing? It's about repentance. Depart, depart. Go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from this or be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. It's basically saying, look, anything that's unclean in your life, you need to let it go. This is the whole idea of repentance is, look, you know the stuff that we already know the stuff that we don't do right. It's time to let it go. Look, he's saying, look, for those of you that are going to be the bearing the vessels, you got to be clean. You got to go ahead and do this. And why? And then the blessing is to us, for you shall not go in haste, nor go out by flight, for the Lord will God will go before you, and the Lord your God shall be your rear guard. And then it's a picture of Yeshua. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred by human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see. And that which they have not heard, they understand. The irony is that as the Jewish people read, and this is where they are at, they entirely do not read Isaiah 53. In the passages, they go from Isaiah 52 to Isaiah 54. They totally skip the entire chapter talking about Yeshua. And the reality is that we have a situation now that we are that light. We are the ones called into darkness. We're the ones that are called to bring the nation back to its true Messiah. We should not fear those that stand against us. Because the Lord says he goes before us and he goes behind us. That means he's surrounding us. The thing is that he doesn't have many of his folks here. I mean, that's the reality. If we're going to be bold and stand forward for the gospel, You know what? Those are the ones that had the Lord before them and the Lord behind them. It's the ones that, you know, are, if you're really concerned about all these things that are taking place right now, it's because you're not understanding how the book ends. I mean, the book ends that we win. The continuation of this passage goes on, and it jumps, and this is in the third week of Elul. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. I mean, if that's not a thing to stand up and say hallelujah over. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, thick darkness the peoples. Ready? How many do we see? How many do we look around and we see the darkness? It has not been this dark than it has ever been. Right now, I believe what is taking place in the United States and what is taking place around the world is the uncovering, literally the uncovering of every sin. This past week, the last video that just came out talking about the abortion issue. The video that came out that the doctor's testifying is there's a baby there. And he says to the person, you ever seen a baby heartbeat? And literally tapped that baby and the heart started beating. The baby that was already delivered as an abortion was so put together, its heart was beating. Then the most horrific thing takes place. What happens? The doctor then takes what are the scissors called? I know scissors, but they have a technical term. And literally shears, whatever, and cuts the front of it so they can extract the brain intact. This was what was being unveiled, uncovered. This week, there's another site called, I forget the adultery site, Ashley Madison. And this week, some hackers hacked in and demanded a ransom. They said, look, if you don't give us a ransom, we're going to go ahead and release all this information. This information gets leaked out. Right? All of a sudden, there's thousands of servicemen. There is like 50 people in the White House. There is uncovering all of a sudden all these people that had paid to have an affair, an illicit affair, and it was a guaranteed, you know, you pay your $50 or whatever, and if you don't have a great affair or whatever outside of marriage, then, you know, you get your money back. So all these people signed up for this adultery site, and what happened? It totally got uncovered. This week, we started seeing the uncovering of all how bad it has really gotten in the world. I mean, it has gotten now to the point now every sin is being fully exposed. And here it is. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. I mean, if we're not seeing that now, I don't know, you know, what else more to really expect. But that is not the point. Here it is. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Darkness may be covering the earth, but we are getting ready to walk in his glory. I mean, the reality is that we're getting ready to walk in his glory. And if we walk in his glory, if we actually go through true repentance and we actually go in the place where God can use us, we actually turn and go the right direction and we're going wholeheartedly after him, guess what happens? What's the promise? And the nations shall come to your light. And the nations shall come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They are all gathered together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried up on the hip. John the Baptist went into the desert in the middle of nowhere. There's nobody living in the desert where John the Baptist is preaching. They all went to see John in the desert. Why? Because the glory of God was upon him. We are in this tiny little city in Arad. We are in the midst of the desert. There ain't nobody come see us. But they will come to see his saints burning. He will come to see the glory of God being poured out. They will come, and all of a sudden, if a revival truly breaks out, they're going to come from all over the world. I mean, that is where we are prophetically. This is the passage that they're reading right now. And then the same passage, a little bit further on, here's Yeshua. And this is what Yeshua is actually, so we know when he actually is giving this message. It's during the month of Elul.
Alex would like to make it known that
They came. Very good. Thank you, Alex. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good things to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prisons to our bound. Now, when you read it in the New Covenant, you read to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and he stops. Now we're at the conclusion, and the day of vengeance of our God, ready to comfort those who mourn. That's what we are getting ready to do. We're getting ready to comfort those that are mourn, to console those who mourn in Sion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. We are now at this place. We are in the month of Elul. We are now 34 days out from Yom Kippur. We are now entering into our season. This is the season of repentance. If the saints of God don't go through repentance, and the reality is, the repentance isn't a one-time thing. The reality is the true saints of God know that repentance is a daily thing. I mean, the reality is I wake up every morning, I got to think through everything I've messed up on. I mean, it isn't like we somehow have arrived. It is a daily ongoing event that takes place. You know, it reminds me of this rabbi. These two rabbis are discussing one another. And the one rabbi says to the other rabbi, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm planting olive trees." And he scratches his head and says, "Don't you think that Mashiach is coming back today?" And the rabbi says, "Yes." He says, "Well, why plant an olive tree? Because it's going to take 15 years before it actually can actually have fruit that you can actually take off." He says, "For my grandchildren." But he says, "Well, didn't you say that you thought that the Messiah is coming today? I don't understand." And what the rabbi says, you have to live a life of repentance every day in expectation of seeing the Messiah today. Yet live your lives as though you have for your grandchildren, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. So there's a life of daily repentance. Today, I may see the Messiah. You may not have a chance to say, "I'm sorry," or have a life of repentance if you died right now. You may not have a chance to say, "I'm sorry," to all the friends or all the people that you've offended. You may not have a chance to say, "I'm sorry," to your brother, to your mother, to your father. You may not have that chance. The reality is today we have that chance. That's why we seize every day. That's why we walk in a lifestyle of repentance. And when we walk in this lifestyle of repentance, guess what? Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has come upon you, that the nations will come to us. We don't have to go out. They will be coming to us. They'll be drawn to our light. So Abba Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would pour upon us a spirit of repentance, that we'd be so broken, Father, so broken before you, that the glory of God, the outpouring of the Ruach, would come upon us so strong, so powerfully, that the nations would come see our light here in this little town of Arad. Father, may revival truly break out in this little town. May your spirit be poured out in such a powerful way, such a mighty way, Father, that the nations would recognize that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob still rests, still sits on the throne, that sent us Yeshua, our Messiah, that we may proclaim his goodness to the nations. B'Shem Yeshua Mashiach. Amen. Has anyone got anything to add to that?